We are very happy to welcome back friend of downtown, the erudite and always interesting Upton Bell. Good afternoon, Upton.
Good afternoon to you all today. What are we doing with the government today? Who are they taking their money from today?
Well, I'm not really sure, but I know that this whole thing with the Supreme Court ruling that expands the opportunity for states to have gambling on sports doesn't sit well with you or with me. And you can go back to a time a few years before I was born, to talk about how that could have affected the NFL once upon a time.
Well, you know, it was 1946, just right after the end of the Second World War. And the New York Giants were playing the Chicago Bears, the two great teams in pro football, for the championship in New York, actually before Christmas. In those days, they played. They didn't wait till the middle of May like the NFL does now to have a Super Bowl. And so that was the first year. My father had just been elected commissioner of pro football. He had to sell his stock in the Pittsburgh Steelers, which he co-owned with Art Rooney, and he became commissioner. The day before the game, on a Saturday, Frank Hogan, who was the district attorney, who later on in New York prosecuted, as it turned out, one of the players on my team at LaSalle in 1961 in the basketball scandal. But he called my father, along with the mayor, Frank Dwyer, and said, we've got a problem here. It looks like Alvin Parrish, who was a very famous gambler at the time, we have the wiretap on him and found out that he was talking to Merrill Hapes of the New York Football Giants about throwing the game, championship game, on Sunday. So my father, who was headed to New York anyway, went there on a Saturday, and they met with the district attorney. They called both Frank Filchak, who was their famous quarterback at the time, of the Giants, and Merrill Hapes, and they brought them both in to the district attorney's office. My father was there, unlike all of the crap that you hear today, where it takes 45 hours to make any type of decision. The decision was made by my father, which I think saved pro football from a big gambling scandal. He suspended Merrill Hapes, and he let Filchak play. Hapes did admit that he was offered a bribe to throw the championship game, but he said he turned it down, but he never reported it. Filchak, which they found out later, lied about it and said that he never talked to Alvin Parrish, the gambler, about throwing the game. My father let Filchak play in the game, but told him after the game was over he wanted to look at this more closely. He suspended Hapes, and they announced it, New York press. I mean, it went all over the country, the story. And basically, in the game itself, Filchak played pretty well, threw about four interceptions, I think it was, but the Bears ended up winning the game. He later on suspended both of them for life and then let them come back. If he had not stepped in, and if there was not a wiretap on Alvin Parrish's phone, you might have seen, because remember then, baseball was the biggest sport. The NFL was beginning to catch up, but it's a long way to go. I don't think you would have had a league. And so we come, you know, almost, well, we do, we come full force to today. And my father, right after that, then went to the FBI, talked to J. Edgar Hoover, and said, I'm looking to hire ex-FBI agents, and I'm going to put them in every city in the NFL. In those days, there were 12 cities. And he said, I am going to make sure that the players might think they're being followed, but they will report to me every week on any movements in not only the odds on the game, but also if they see any players hanging around with gamblers or suspicious people. Also, he put in a rule that still remains today that the Patriots and everybody else lies about, which is he made every team by Thursday before the game report who was injured. Up until that time, there were no reports on injuries or anything else about the players, so the gamblers could find out. For instance, one time he found out a player had the flu and was not going to play in the game. In those days, you have to report it, but it caused the odds of the game to change. So he set up also that, but every Sunday, I used to answer the phone occasionally. He had a red phone in the house. And when that phone rang, it started ringing at 9 o'clock in the morning, he got the odds on every game all the way up to game time by gamblers whose names he protected. The only one that I knew about, and this is in my book, was there was a guy by the name of Frisco Legs.
Yeah.
What a name, huh?
Yeah.
Like Legs Diamond, who would report. And that's the way he kept tabs on it. He personally kept tabs every week on every team right up to game time and got reports every week from the ex-FBI agency hired. Of course, today is a huge apparatus in the NFL. Not that I think it does very good at times. And that was the outgrowth of what Bert Bell put in. So now we've come all the way around to the day that now it's going to be legalized gambling. And I don't think the government or the Supreme Court, who should have kept the hell out of it, but of course they're into everything now, they didn't look at the other end. The only thing that they look at, Bruce, is how much money we can make. So look at it. There was prohibition. But you know, finally, the government saw, well, you know what, we better not outlaw because we can make a lot of money on liquor. Then we had the situation of drugs, and let's outlaw that. Until now, in Massachusetts, everywhere, you're going to be able to get marijuana wherever you want. So I say the only other thing besides gambling, I won't live long enough to see it, but I'll bet someday there's going to be legalized prostitution. I mean, it's any time that the government can get their hands on money, what used to be a sin is now, you know, just a mortal life. So that's what we're looking at, but I don't think that they understand, nor, by the way, I understand this too, do they care?
Right.
What is going to happen in Massachusetts, Maine, and across the country?
Well, and the other thing that I think you're really touching on here is the fact that we're talking about legalized gambling on all sports, and you know, there'd be gambling on who's going to hit how many free throws in a college game. At some point, there's going to be so much money at stake, and the bookies are going to be out of this. I think it encourages more corruption. Everybody says, oh, this is great because it puts all the money in the public coffers instead of the hands of the bookies. But as you and I spoke this morning on the phone, that's ridiculous. The bookies are going to be even more insidious in this.
Well, not only that, Bruce, what is going to happen here is the bookies will say, we'll give you better odds. You don't think that these casinos are going to give you great odds. The only way casinos make millions of dollars is that the book makes money. So
right.
they play both sides. Now, that's true to a degree also about the gamblers and the bookies, but you find yourself you're going to get better odds there. But here's the real danger. Now, people say too many players, let's just take pro football. Let's take the Patriots. Too many players are making too much money, so it isn't going to be something that you have to worry about. Well, the way it's stacked today, you've got Tom Brady and Gronk and a few other players that are making millions, and then you've got other players, because of the way of the salary cap, that are not making that much money. Now, let's say where you had to have somebody go to a bookie and under an assumed name, they're going to make a place a bet for somebody. So let's say the starting center of the Patriots or any team, or the offensive guard. And as you bring up, you can bet on, you'll be able to bet on when the sun comes up.
Right.
And they send their wife or their brother or whomever it is over to the casino. Although I think the day will come where you'll be able to do it with scratch cards and everything else like that. Send them over to the casino and bet the name of somebody else, maybe on the score or on the odds or whatever it is. How are you ever going to know if somebody misses a block? I played with one of the fixers at LaSalle College in Philadelphia, and all he did was miss a few shots here and there in the game. And you got to think about it in basketball. I said, okay, not having a great night, so he's missed a couple of shots. And as it turned out, those couple of shots he missed affect the odds on the game. The gamblers win, And finally, they catch him. I said to myself, how the hell would I ever know?
Right, and I also... go ahead.
So, I am not here to tell people not to gamble. Everybody gambles in life. I could care less. What I'm saying that you have to understand, when the politician and the state and the government tell you everything's going to be on the up and up, look at some of these commissions that run gambling. Look at the state of Massachusetts. You know, the Senate president is out the door because of his husband and letting him listen and everything else. Just because you have something in front of your name, whether you're a cop, a congressman, or something else like that, doesn't necessarily mean you're honest.
Oh, exactly. And the thing that worries me most is the kid who's a second-string player at a major university in football who thinks that he's not going to get the big paycheck. It's what his parents always banked on. Somebody comes up to him and says, you know, on the kickoff, all you got to do is do this or do that. And he's thinking about his responsibilities, not getting paid. He's a college athlete. I just think that the corruption possibilities are enormous in this. And as you say, as long as they're making money on it, they won't care.
Well, not only that, the phoniness of college sports that for a long time has said, you know, we've got to keep away from this. We don't pay the players. What happens? As soon as the Supreme Court ruling comes down, 2 days later, the NCAA said, well, you know what? Maybe we will go back to playing games in places like Las Vegas and games and places where it has gambling. The next thing you know, everybody is going to get their piece of the action. NFL, NBA is all for it. So is baseball. You don't think that college athletics, which is the biggest, and in my feeling, the most illegal of all of it, isn't going to get millions and millions of dollars? And listen, I think it's not only that. If and when the colleges go and say, we want our piece of the action, we'll permit certain things on betting on games, how do you think that there's not going to be a Michael Avenatti right there with 10 players from Northwestern, the University of Maine, saying, we want to get paid?
Yeah.
They're going to. You are going to see... Hey, listen, I don't care. They can do what they want. But you are going to see explosions of things that people never even thought of. And I will make another point. The person who owned our team, Carol Rosenberg, gave me my first job. There is no question in my mind that he was gambling on games. And that was back in the 60s and 70s. And he just, everybody kind of knew it, but he never got caught. My father was dead by then, even though he brought him into the league, or I think he would have suspended. He came within one vote of being thrown out of the league, and this was back the second year I was there, 1962-63. So it's always been there. Now they're saying what was illegal is now legal. So it's like Clinton. What is.
Yeah, right.
You can make anything you want out of it. But if anybody is kidding themselves to saying that college athletics is amateur, or that the pros are making too much money, if I'm a pitcher, if particularly in baseball where it's really an individual sport. Maybe I get knocked out of the box one day. I look at the odds. Maybe if I'm a batter, somebody is going to bet on whether I hit 300 for the year, and I miss last. I come down the last day, I'm hitting 301, and I go, you know, 0-4, and they say just too much pressure on them. But actually, it's a bet on the game. Please, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, it certainly is. And Upton, I love your take on these things because you can speak with so much authority for having, as your title of your book is, been there at the creation of the NFL. It's a great pleasure to have you on, and I hope we'll be able to talk to you again soon. And best wishes for a great weekend.
Thank you. And just remember this, you can bet on it, I'll be back.
All right. That sounds good. Thank you, Upton.
Thank you. Bye.